you know, preachers, and it's not that they can't, and I wonder, Lord, in what way am I guilty of this? Preachers can point you in the right direction, and then very subtly, and not intentional, I don't think it's intentional at all, very subtly, subtly turn you and point you off just ever so slightly. But when you go in that direction for a long period of time, you're way off the mark. See, and Paul says, I'm going to get your attention on the right thing. He says, you look, first of all, look unto Jesus and don't look anyplace else. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Him crucified and raised from the dead. He said, you can follow me if I'm following Christ. He says, but other than that, he says, you keep your eyes on Christ. So that if someone I was listening to a preacher the other day. He had a lot of truth. He had good things. People might have gotten blessed. Very subtly, he turned the people. And it just off a little bit. Why? Unless we see what the Lord is really after in us, we'll miss it. He wants to bring many sons to glory. What glory? Well, there are many preachers in America today that say the glory is to have a lot of rings on your fingers, a lot of money in your pockets, fancy suits, and everybody giving you money and telling you how great you are. That's missing. That's not the glory of God at all. The glory of God is when somebody comes up and sticks a spear in your side and you don't break your relationship with them. Yeah, I'd go over and smack Dave tonight. It might be the last time he ever talks to me. But if he's filled with the Spirit of God, he's coming back. Okay, look at this now. So he tells them, stop offering. Verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more. Can you imagine a preacher coming out and saying, we don't want any of your offerings today. Just stop it. Keep your money. God doesn't need it. Wouldn't that be refreshing? Bring no more vain oblations. This is Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 13. No more conventions. No more calling of assemblies. He says, I don't want that. He says in verse 14, your special meetings and appointed feast my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. Can you imagine? We get together and think we're pleasing God. And he says, that's troubling to me. Why? Because it becomes a substitute for what God really wants. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Listen, I didn't say this. God said it. In other words, he says, I don't want any religious substitute for the correct heart response to me. I don't want your money. I don't want your singing. I don't want your praise. I don't want your prayers. He said, come, let's get these things right in your heart. Oh, that'll just kill me. He says, yes. But I am the God of the resurrection. And I will give you... See, it's one thing for Jesus to come and say, I am come that you might have life and more abundantly. It's another thing for us to get it. You've heard this, what would Jesus do? That's spiritual naivety. We might know what Jesus would do. We might want to do what Jesus would do. But unless we are filled with the same Spirit, we cannot do it. Peter wanted to follow the Lord. He did not have the power. Remember that what Jesus did, he did after he fasted for 40 days, was tempted of the devil, and that after 30 years of total obedience. Let's just do what God's asking us to do and enabling us to do. Now, look over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. The people which sat in darkness. Now, what this means is that in their heart they had given up hope. They said, this is as good as it's going to get, so I'm going to cope. I'm going to adjust to my life as best I can. I might have to use drugs to do it. I might have to use alcohol to do it. I might have to use money, illicit sex, whatever, to cope. But this is the best I'm going to get. Until Jesus comes and he shines the light into the darkness. The people who sat in darkness, when they came into the funeral home, that day a couple weeks ago, they were sitting in darkness. They had said in their heart, this is as best as it's going to get. We somehow have to adjust to it. The light has to shine into the darkness. And those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. But wait a minute. Just because the light shines in the darkness doesn't mean that the darkness is dispelled. Because men love darkness rather than light. Why? Jesus tells us. Because their deeds are evil. They hate the light. But everyone whose deeds are in God, they love the light. They come to the light. Well, the first deed that we have to do is bring our sinful heart to the Lord and say, this is me in all of my wretchedness. And that's the first step on the path of the just, which is a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. Now, over in Mark chapter 7, we'll see why all of these elaborate religious systems exist. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. This is Jesus. And they had said to him, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? Because they're breaking the traditions of the fathers. Now, traditions are a substitute for what God wants. And Jesus said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. This is Mark 7 verse 6. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where are they hiding their heart? They are hiding their heart in this religion. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about what God speaks to your heart on a personal basis. What he would say to your heart apart from every other heart. He comes to the rich young ruler and he says, sell all that you have. He said that to that particular heart. He might say to your heart, go back 20 years ago, you did such and such. Go back and make it right. That commandment is ordained unto life. You, if you're viewing it in the natural, will find it to be unto death. And sin will have dominion over you until you obey the Lord. And in the obeying of the Lord, he breaks that power of sin over you. We are being sold a bill of goods. We're not being given the right stuff. We're given a religious substitute. And it's popular because the flesh remains alive. Why did they want to kill the prophets? What did they say to I? What did they say to this prophet who said, "Stop your praying"? They said, "Get you out of the way. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Don't say hard things to us. Cease the Holy One of Israel, or cause the Holy One to cease from before us." In other words, get the holiness of God out of the way so we can fulfill our self-centered interests.